Where are our values? Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with thought for today. Where are our values? We all think we have good values. We think we have wonderful values, and the values are based upon what is best for ourselves and our world and our country and that sort of good stuff. But is it really? Are our values based upon what the rest of the world thinks? And not really the rest of the world, but what some people think. A lot of times we think that what we read in the newspapers is valid for our thinking, that what we hear on the radio is valid for our thinking, and that should help us to make a judgment and help us to make decisions. Well, when we do that, what do? We get in trouble. Why do we get in trouble when we listen to the newspaper and listen to the radio and listen to television and act upon what we hear? Why do we get in trouble?
We limit ourselves.
Why do we limit ourselves?
Because we listen to the outer.
We limit ourselves because we listen to the outer. If we listen to our inner self, we don't go wrong. Now, you have seen enough movies and read enough stories and seen enough life actions that the appearances aren't what they seem to be. In a show last night, the young man was a hobo, and the name made it sound like he was a bad person. And yet the young man had the integrity, he was born with the integrity that he believed in, but his name made him sound like a hobo. And so everybody was trying to make out that he was a bad person because he was a hobo, because he didn't have nice shoes and he didn't have nice clothes, and because he was dragging this little kid around with him, you know. And they made him out as a hobo, as an evil thing. And the story continued. And throughout the story, they did everything they could to besmirch the young man, to take his integrity and throw it out the window and show that he was had no values at all. But when the story ended, it showed that the young man had more values than anybody else in the group, because he stood up for what he believed, and he took care of the little kid and made the little kid into a boy so that no one would disturb them, where it was a little girl. And he had just the most gentle and nice thing, and people wanted to give him things, and he said, "No, I'll work for it, but don't give it to me. I do not want something for nothing. I am not a beggar, you know. I am going to work. If you will let me do some work for you and feed me, I'll be very happy, you know." And so he did this, but people didn't understand that. People didn't understand what that really meant. And they wanted to judge him on the appearances that other people had made. In fact, the man with the newspaper, he said, if the people want to know how bad the hobos are, not how good they are. And this is the modus operandi of most people who go through life. They want to be superior. And as Ellen pointed out at the end of the film, here this newspaper man who had such great values but didn't live by them because that didn't make money for him, that he thought. He lived by values that were the grosser, lesser values that he thought the people wanted. And he provided the prurient interests of the people. He provided the interest of the negative that they were looking for, he thought, just because he bought it. Now, I say to you, does the world love sexy stories? Does the world love ribald stories that are demeaning and degrading to the human person? Does the world like it? There are magazines that publish that sort of stuff, and there are magazines that are pornographic magazines and things of that nature. Now, are those your best-selling magazines? Not hardly. Not hardly. They are in the minority. There's just a few people who allow themselves to look at those things and get a kick out of it. Now, sports, hunting, fishing, popular science, popular mechanics, Smithsonian Institutes, Scientific American, Discovery, these magazines, National Geographic, they're magazines that are uplifting, magazines that are beautiful. And even the National Geographic magazine, it thinks it has to go on a crusade to save the world. And that's a foolish thing to do, because they're losing a lot of their readership, because the readership says, oh, I've got enough of that. What the readership of the National Geographic want from the National Geographic, they want a magazine that is free of any bias. They want a magazine that tells the facts, that shows the stories in a gentle, loving way, without a preconceived idea in it, without trying to save the earth or save the whales or save this. People want a magazine as beautifully done as the National Geographic just to show how beautiful the animals are. And because the animals are so beautiful, you want to do everything you can to uphold them and support them, to show human nature how beautiful it is to uphold it and support it. To show the, it showed an article about the boys in an African community, in the desert community, and how they were naked and running barefoot, and they were running across the desert and beating the gazelles and running faster than many of the animals were running. And these kids ultimately went into the Olympics, but they couldn't afford it, of course. But those who wanted to go into the Olympics, some people supported them, and they went in and they won. And they're great. But there's no great support for those people. People don't want to go and get them and help them to go into the Olympics or help them to do things, because there's competition. And you see, the people who are working hard to do this, the people who have everything to help them do this, they want to support those people. Now, why am I saying this? Well, I'm saying this. The National Geographic displayed these young boys as being such superior runners with nothing to impede them. And they ran beautifully, and they ran gorgeously, and they ran wonderfully. But they were not for the Olympics. They were for the joy of running. They weren't for running a race. They weren't for running in competition with anybody. They were running for the joy of living, the joy of running. The gazelle doesn't run because it's running away from some meanness or some predator that wants to have it for dinner. The gazelle runs because it's the gazelle's nature to run and jump and spring. The springbok runs and jumps and springs and flies, and they're gorgeous to look at. They're magnificent to see. They're full of life, and their heart doesn't burst because they're doing such tremendous exercise. But for the joy of all of living, when we live our values for the joy of living, our values will make us into the healthiest, long life living people that we could ever possibly conceive ourselves to be. When we live by our values, and our values are to be a human being, perhaps, well, what kind of a human being? The ideal human being. The ideal human being that lives in the ideal body, that lives in the ideal mind, that lives in the ideal spirit. The ideal human being who doesn't care about anybody else, just themselves. And if you want a good world for yourself, you have to create a good world for yourself. And while you're creating a good world for yourself, you're just naturally creating a good world for everybody else in the world. But if you go out and try to change the world and try to help the world and try to correct the world, you're not allowing each person to find themselves and be themselves and shine forth themselves in the magic that they are. Is this what our values really are? Are our values that we want to get out and shine forth who we are and be who we are and have fun in doing it? Or are our values that we're going in competition with the rest of the world or going in competition with anybody? The racer who looks ahead and sees where his goal is and runs to it, wins the race. The racer who's constantly looking around to see where his competition are and so forth is wasting so much energy. He's losing his focus. Mm-hmm. And because he loses his focus, he loses. And then he tries to do all sorts of mean things to stop his competition from beating him. Whereas if he would just have his focus one-pointed on the goal, like Tiger Woods does, he has his focus where he wants that ball, and he puts the ball there. We have the video of Tiger Woods where you play the game yourself, you know, in the game. And as I played it with one of our friends, I did all sorts of marvelous things. I didn't really care what the thing said about this and that. I just felt what I wanted to do, and I pressed the buttons to make it do what I wanted to do, and then I put the swing in there, and wow, away she went. And then it was brought to my attention that, notice they show you the grid of the putting green, and they show you whether it's uphill, downhill, side hill, and that you should play it accordingly. But I just played it by my eye. And playing it by my eye, I birdied it, and I bogeyed it, and I made the hole. But when I tried to go by the designs, I was going by somebody else's observation. Tiger Woods doesn't have those little grids running across his green. He just sees the hole. And then he thinks, I will do this or do that, and he does it. Because there's an inner wisdom within us that tells us how to go up or down or around, how to move, how to do it. There's an inner wisdom within us. If we see the hole there, and we see the tee here, and we want to strike the ball from the tee to the hole, can you decide how you're going to hold your club, how you're going to have your front of the club greet the ball? Are you going to be able to tell fractionally this way or that way how it's going? Are you going to hook it or or slice it? How are you going to do it? You look at the hole, and then your body adjusts itself automatically, because mentally you're on focus. Mentally, your values are where they should be. Your value is on your goal, not on the path. The path takes care of itself, and you can enjoy it as you go along. But always keep your heart, keep your soul, keep your thought on the goal. And as you do, what a wonderful goal we have. Yes, living by our values is quite wonderful. But keeping our eye on the goal and live by your values, you'll always win. And you'll win happily, easily, and wonderfully, and respectfully for yourself. And all the world will have respect for you too. Not that that's what you're going for. Mm-hmm. You're going for self-respect first. And with self-respect, world respect follows right after, if not right with it. Have a lovely day, and know I love you eternally.
I love you.
Thank you.